Hey everybody, I am Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeens.
And you're joining us for our big gay date. It's a dark and stormy night outside, so we're huddled up, cuddling together on the couch, watching the 1939 MGM classic, The Wizard of Oz.
This movie's amazing, or it's supposed to be amazing.
We just saw, loading up on Vudu, it's a 99% Rotten Tomatoes rating. Like, I don't know what, we should check, it's probably like top five or something. That's insane.
Yeah, but I'd also be interested in knowing what exactly constitutes the Rotten Tomatoes. Because, like, sometimes their ratings are, I mean, I see terrible ratings and I'm like, this is a wonderful movie. And yes, I like Waterworld and that movie's fucking terrible. But some of their other ratings are kind of...
But I imagine it's just because, I mean, it's a, not only it's a maybe considered a classic, that kind of skews people's views one way, but I don't think there's anything wrong with this movie. Like, I mean, it's not a movie that I think I'm going to be hugely interested to watch. It's not my style of movie, but I don't think I can really fault it in any way. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a terribly written story or anything. I mean, you know, fucking Batman versus Superman.
Did you see The Great and Powerful Oz?
With Franco, yes, I did. Now that I can understand. Like, I didn't enjoy watching that movie.
Now, are we going into this with the thinking of that as being a proper prequel?
Let me tell you, I only watched that movie once, and I've put every part of it out of my head. Honestly, it was a pretty cool technical movie. How it was like this ratio we're watching here, 4:3, and then when he goes into Oz, it goes into widescreen. That was an awesome effect. Mm-hmm. Kind of gave the I don't think this is going to do the same thing. I don't know if they maybe changed that as part of the, like, the HD remaster or something. I don't know, we'll see. But every other part of that movie is very, very forgettable for me.
Okay, fair enough.
I just did not like that film, and I went in there with really high expectations as well. I love Sam Raimi. I find James Franco hilarious. I thought it was was set up to be a really good film.
Uh-huh. I like James Franco when you just let James Franco play James Franco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, so that dog, Toto, mm-hmm. His real name is Terry. Just thought you'd like to know that.
I feel like I know him so much better now.
Yeah, apparently Judy Garland tried to adopt Terry.
Uh-huh.
And the...
Wait, hang on. Terry, is he a terrier?
I don't know, but his name is Terry.
I need to see him again, yeah. Because if so, that's fucking lazy.
Yeah, Judy Garland wanted to adopt Terry at the end of filming, and mm-hmm. the animal handler would not have it because it's Toto, and that dog ended up going on
making bank after this.
Yeah, well, that dog ended up having like quite a career in like 1940s Hollywood.
Okay.
Really? I wouldn't give up the cash cow either, man.
Absolutely.
I don't have to do anything but just keep this awesome dog. Oh, he didn't have any brains. He's a scarecrow.
Foreshadowing. So, I mean, this is going to be interesting to watch. There is so little of this movie that I retain in my memory, but it's still... a film that I feel like I remember it so well, but once you go into the details of it, like the beats and the pacing of the story, I don't really remember what the fuck happens. I don't remember what order they meet everybody or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the gist of it I get, and it's a short film as well. I don't know, when's the last time you actually saw this film all the way through? It's probably when I was like six.
I was a child. My sister used to love this movie like hardcore. She thought she was fucking Dorothy, and that whole falling off of the fence, she used to reenact that scene on the back of our couch and fall off onto the couch. But once I started being able to make the decisions on what was played on the TV, I didn't have to watch this movie anymore.
We were talking about The Prestige last time, talking about magic movies, and we never thought about this movie. Mm-hmm. It's got witches, it's got wizards.
Yeah. Now, the guy on the right, that's Tin Man, right?
I was just kind of going through the process of elimination. Actually, no, is that
That's Tin Man, because the Cowardly Lion, they were just talking about him being a, you're not a coward.
Right, okay.
They talked about the skinny dude not having a brain.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely Cowardly Lion. Just looking at that face.
Yeah. That Tin Man, he's Hickory. I think that's, like, the only time, well, and at the end, but, like, if you listen to his voice sounds, like, deep and gruff, That's his normal voice.
And he puts on a voice for the I don't remember how Tin Man.
He puts on this like this nice falsetto voice, and apparently that was the voice he read stories to his kids with.
Aw.
So because his voice is just too gruff and man to be in a fantasy movie. That's
right,
just
yeah.
He just sounded like a manual laborer.
This is the 30s when people were scared of machines and robots and metal tin men anyway, so they needed to make it maybe, you know, a brighter, lighter voice.
Yeah, I mean, we got a female lead like that right there. Like, quit your bitching, you know? Like, that's the most you were going to get.
Yeah. I mean, this is a... I'm sure, like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Objectively, this is a great film. It's not a film that I would really think to put on. I don't know. I mean, everyone... You've seen this film so many times in bits and pieces, mm-hmm. just growing up. It's one of those films that seems to be always on.
Mm-hmm.
Not the worst thing to happen in 1939.
Yeah. I mean, and there was a lot of really badass movies were being filmed at this point in time. Okay, the director for this, the first director, he got fired. And then the second director, because his work sucked. And so the second director came in and had to refilm because the first director had put Judy Garland in a fucking blonde wig and like baby doll, like Lolita makeup, right? Oh. Like before Lolita makeup was like a thing.
Right.
Second director comes in and starts fixing everything. And then there's another movie in Hollywood that is a doomed production that needs his help. So he leaves and they find a third director. Obviously, this movie turned out great. The second director, that's movie they made him leave to go fix,
yeah.
was Gone with the Wind.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
That man's got the Midas touch.
And Gone with the Wind is an amazing... I can't imagine that at any point in time that was a failed production in Hollywood. Like, that's fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That you know that original footage is just lost.
Now. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Tin Man, you know about the Tin Man thing, right? Like, they released that in the documentary in, like, the 80s or the 90s. Okay, the guy that's the Scarecrow was originally cast as the Tin Man.
Right, yes.
And he didn't want to be the Tin Man. He talked to the guy that was cast as Scarecrow, because the guy that is the Scarecrow was a vaudeville performer.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy that was cast as Scarecrow, he's like, hey, this costume make me be stiff. I'm like a fluid... I want to be Scarecrow. Scarecrow's my thing.
Uh-huh.
Wizard of Oz is what made me get into vaudeville, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so the guy that was Scarecrow switched places with him, became Tin Man, and then realized that he was deathly allergic to the the aluminum powder in the makeup that coated his lungs and put him in the hospital. So you traded a role, and then the role that you traded...
tries to kill you.
Yeah, and then you get replaced. That's the worst.
Man, that blows.
She's such a good, like, bitch. Apparently, she was really nice in, like, real life, but, like, yeah.
She's got 1939 resting bitch face.
Yes! Oh, man, she's such a... Oh.
She kind of looks like... what's her fucking name? Sheldon's girlfriend from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, my God, yeah, she does. That? Throw some glasses on her?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Especially when she scowls, jeez.
I'd be interested in seeing Sheldon's girlfriend from Big Bang Theory playing a bitch. Like, I'm just assuming she'd do it well.
She's just got that posture and everything.
Yeah.
Funny.
She's just sucking all the happiness out of this scene.
Right, put the happiness in the basket.
She's a squash happy. No, a killjoy, not a squash happy. It's the dumbest shit in the world.
That's an interesting way of phrasing it. A squash happy.
Hey, it will
totally a fucking that's a new thing.
We'll that, make it work.
We'll
yeah.
make it. We'll get it out into the world. Yep. So this is how little I remember this movie. I don't remember this being in sepia. I thought the first part of the movie was all in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wildly wrong, obviously.
But that's because you were watching the version that was aired on the TVs.
Right. But why would that be different?
Okay. When this movie originally came out,
totally not fucking cycling down a real place.
Yeah, right. <Sorry. laughs> when this movie came out, they shot this whole beginning in sepia. Whenever they go from the sepia to color, that scene, they painted the inside of the set and the stand-in's costume sepia toned. And it completed the illusion, and it looked great. They go through the doorway, and everything through the doorway is color. The stand-in steps out, and Dorothy steps in her blue dress, mm-hmm. and it's fantastic. But when this came out in America, it only recouped like just over $3 million on a $2.7 million budget. In the rest of the world, it did great, but here, not so much. In 58, 59, we started airing this on American TV like every year, which is why it's the most watched movie.
Because no one had any fucking choice.
Yeah, it's like they air the Christmas Story now,
right.
The Ralphie one, or the It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas. They did this with Wizard of Oz. Whenever they would air it, they aired this part in actual black and white. And then it would switch to color right before the color scene. Mm-hmm. So when it would switch to color, you wouldn't get only color through the doorway. It would go from being black and white to all of a sudden being this weird yellow shade to being right. color, and it ruined the illusion. But they did the black and white up until like the 80s on TV, which is why everybody remembers this beginning actually being black and white.
But why would they, like, is it a technical thing? Why would they do black and white?
It makes no sense.
No.
It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense.
Just because I guess people were used to seeing black and white for so long and not seeing sepia on their TV?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. But I mean, that's what I found out with multiple sources. I mean, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll get there, because that is a really great scene, and it's very interesting as yeah. far as like how they made it goes.
What do we have? Do you have a favorite scene or a most memorable scene?
Because
I have a very nice bottle of salsa tequila right here.
Fuck. Then I'm gonna have to go earlier than later.
Then my favorite scene is the scene where she melts.
Okay.
But no, it's my favorite scene, I'm going to say, the scene that kind of sticks in my head the most is, and I think it's when they're walking through the forest and the monkeys attack, but I seem to remember some scene where the Scarecrow man's been ripped in half or something, and the monkeys are fucking ripping out his hay and just throwing it like confetti in the air and
oh,
shit.
Yeah.
That's the one that kind of sticks out in my head as the most interesting scene in a movie that everybody remembers being very bright and colorful and jolly and happy, you mm-hmm. know?
How well, I mean, you? In this state, the wizard tells them to go get the witch's broom. In the book, he sends them to murder the witch.
So they really sanitized this for...
Yeah. At one point, there's killer bees, and the Scarecrow was supposed to be the sacrifice, because once the bee stinger
oh,
comes
shit.
Out, the bees die.
Okay.
So the Scarecrow was supposed to let the bees sting them
like
to death,
oh
but
my God.
They're to death.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of weird shit that was originally, like, the original draft for this, they took all the fantasy stuff out. Like all the Scarecrow was a guy that was so dumb he could only get a job as like putting on a Scarecrow costume and scaring birds. The Tin Man apparently was a hardened criminal that was so fucked up they put him in a tin outfit.
Was the original director Zack Snyder?
No, right.
like it sounds like you are describing what he did to the DC Murderverse, honestly.
Well, okay, the Tin Man, he apparently was like, I think like the Man in the Iron Mask, like lock him in.
Mm-hmm.
And after being stuck in the tin outfit for so long, he turned like warm and gentle and kind.
Okay.
It was closer to the original Wizard of Oz that came out even like before this. I think it was like in the early 30s.
Wait, there's another Wizard of Oz?
Oh yeah, it was a shitty one, and they took out all the fantastical elements. It was like super realistic and bad.
How old is this book that it's based on?
it was already well loved before this ever like was even like a glint in somebody's eye.
And was it a book or a musical?
Book.
It was a book first.
Book. Yeah, yeah.
And then there was a shit film, and then they made a musical film.
Frank L. Baum, the writer, wrote this. He was writing the story, and I think his fucking a relative, maybe a sister-in-law or something, she had a baby that died at 5 months old, and its name was Dorothy Gage. And ooh. So he named Dorothy in this as Dorothy Gale. And
she
one of them
swept up by this tornado, and he's kind of a lazy hack.
Yeah. But years later, one of the Munchkins from this movie, one of the surviving Munchkins, found Dorothy Gage's.
We're going to touch back on that in a little bit. One of the surviving Munchkins.
Yeah. One of the surviving Munchkins found about Dorothy Gage and like the actual like origin story, and had a headstone making business. So he made a brand new headstone for Dorothy, had the children's cemetery renamed like for some memorial for her, so that parents could take some kind of solace knowing that their child is resting with Dorothy from Wizard of Oz.
Right. That's a nice kind of morbid story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now that tower, or not the tower, the tornado, it's a T word, it starts with a T, there's an R.
You got off on the right foot.
That's, yeah, that tornado.
Nobody will think less of you.
Is that tornado the sock or the stocking?
I don't know, I'm looking at the bottom. Like I say, I do not remember this film. I'm presuming we're going to see the tornado a little bit closer up later. But
we have agreed that the tornado, when the tornado is going across the miniature, it is a giant stocking.
That's what I believe, yeah. Okay. And that's really interesting because it's like, I mean, you know, it looks kind of boring from the bottom up, but that, at the very bottom, there's a lot of smoke there, and that's an interesting effect to blend very seamlessly somehow, some way in 1939.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you don't even have to, like, go into Photoshop after. You're just doing rear projection.
Yes, but you have to have something to project in the first
place. Well, they had already filmed the projection. I mean, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
But I know at one point, after the new directors and the weird, like, casting changes, because even the witch changed, like, from actress to another one.
Oh, okay.
Because when the first witch had been cast, the witch was supposed to be sexy and sleek, almost like the Snow White and the Seven Doors witch.
Oh, okay.
And then when they put her in costume and made her ugly, she's like, yeah, no thanks.
This isn't how I want to be remembered.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, maybe this is the stocking thing. I don't know. I think the stocking, I think it looked like it was a stocking the last time, the way it was just done. Plus, I don't think we're going to see it well enough again to really kind of justify the shape of it or whatnot. Have you seen Evil Dead?
The original?
Evil Dead 3. End of Evil Dead 2, beginning of Evil Dead 3, where you get sucked into Wormhole or the Vortex or whatever.
Is that the medieval one? The comedy?
Yeah, yeah. They're all comedies, but yeah. All this is just looks as shit as that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just like a pit, yeah.
Cow. It's another cow. No, it's the same cow.
A cow in a tornado.
You know, and I never
Twister's onto something there.
Yeah, I never realized that until just now, but there is no way that wasn't an intentional.
That's a shout out. I mean, yeah. That's obviously a shout out. That's cool. Bum, 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 bum. This is the music I remember. Like, everyone else remembers the songs. Somewhere over the rainbow.
Apparently, she was supposed to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow later on in the movie when the witch has her in, like, a cell as, like, a reprise.
All right.
And she started crying while she's singing, and the crew's crying, and they took it out because it was too goddamn sad.
Damn.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Judy Garland, but Judy Garland is a fucking dish, right? When the house dropped, this is actually kind of funny filmmaking stuff. That's a reverse shot.
Okay.
When the house dropped, that's a reverse shot. They
lifted the house up.
They dropped the model house upside down from the lens of the camera onto a matte painting of clouds and then reversed it.
All right.
Oh, here's that scene.
Silence, please. This is it.
Sepia set, sepia double in a sepia costume. Still shooting color.
Oh,
isn't that interesting?
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Well done, guys.
Seamless.
That's a very creative way. Yeah. A really nice effect. It would be super easy just to not do that effect in 1939, but holy shit, that was really well done.
And they wanted to individually paint the frame.
They would do that this day and age. Pleasantville, I'm sure they fucking did it that same way.
Yeah.
My God, that was really nice.
Yeah. I just think it's funny that they started doing it in effects and were like, yeah, this is just too expensive. Let's just make a CPU.
I mean, we can see the shadow of the camera rig here and all, but I mean, I'm still still so happy with that effect. I'll let it pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your favorite scene? Did you want to get away the way early?
Oh, no. My favorite scene is the first time the witch vanishes. And I will tell you why when we get to that scene.
Okay.
After she shows up and...
Purposely leaning on my lack of knowledge with this movie. Yes. Like, you have something up your sleeve here.
I do. And it's just, we talked about Buddy, we talked about the, not Buddy Ebsen. Was it Buddy Ebsen? We talked about the Tin Man having to leave because the makeup made him sick. This is another one of those cast members getting super fucked up.
And this is a reason why we did touch on this movie. And we can say this now we're here at the Munchkins popping up on screen. Carl was talking to me, but we talk a little bit about the kind of movies that we want to do, and it falls to act two. We want to do classic movies that everybody has seen, so you can just absent-mindedly listen along with us and just kind of enjoy, you know, the commentary on our side without having to pay strict attention to the story and stuff like that. So we try and pick movies everybody knows, but we try and mix it up a little bit. We try to do comedies, we try to do horror, we try to do animation, shit like that. Carl's qualifier for the last time was, I want to do a movie, a really, really old movie, but he said, I want to do a movie that people died to make. Like that old. Mm-hmm. Back in the days when people did not, like, they didn't care nearly as much about safety on the sets and stuff like that. I mean, they really don't care too much about safety on sets right now, if you've seen the shit about The Maze Runner and the last Transformers movie and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It still goes wrong. It's
did
bad.
You see the Twilight Zone movie?
Shit, yeah. The one, is that John Landis that was directing the helicopter scene?
Yeah.
Where killed, like, two kids.
It killed the actor and the two kids. All three of their heads off.
High were you carrying the kids, bro?
I have not seen the movie, but I kind of want to see it just to get, like, is that scene, not the scene where they die, obviously, but, like, that story and that...
The story is in the movie.
Still in there, so you kind of see... helicopter.
Yeah, he's
around.
A bigot that he's a bigot that is all of a sudden in he is now, everyone sees him as a black man in the South. Mm-hmm. He's then in Vietnam where he calls them gooks, but he is viewed by the American soldiers as a Viet Cong.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of that scene, he ends up escaping and jumping onto a train.
Okay.
And when he jumps onto the train, you can just see out through the slats, but the train's full of people.
Okay.
And the train gets to a concentration camp, and then he's a Jew going to the gas chamber. It's honestly that is a fantastic Twilight Zone story. The better one in that movie is when John Lithgow remade the Captain Kirk Twilight Zone episode. It's on the wing.
Terror of 50,000 feet, whatever the fuck it is.
At whatever 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Man, that's cool. But yeah, that's like the worst fucking story I've heard about people dying during making a movie. That's insane.
What about The Crow?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a classic. But it's always worse when there's like two fucking kids got their heads cut off by a rogue helicopter.
They didn't even have a chance to run.
No,
the dude is holding them.
That sounds so fucking bad. Yeah. But yeah, the reason this movie came to mind, shit, we should have done The Crow. That would have been fun.
One day, sir.
Yeah. This is a classic, but one of the pervading stories about this movie, about the making of it, is with the Munchkins. And I have to say, I don't know too much about it, so I'm going to hand over to Carl to regale us with the story of the Hanging Munchkin.
Okay, so there's been an urban legend that a Munchkin killed himself on set.
Pause. Is he trying to squat out of shit right now?
Potentially, yeah. Yes. So there's been this urban legend that a Munchkin committed suicide on set, and you could see him hanging in the background. But if you look at all these little midgets, they all look really, really happy right now.
They do, but they are also actors.
Not so much.
People look really happy in porn, but I get the feeling that after you're doing enough, you're probably kind of sick again.
I don't know what kind of porn you watch, but they don't always look happy. Okay, so these midgets... if you look in the credits, they refer to the singer midgets. That is not because they sing.
Do they call them singer midgets?
No. Yes. Okay. At this point in time,
midget was the term you'd use.
Well, yeah, not even that, but the actual professional troupe is called the Singer Midgets. There's this European guy, I think, isn't it an L name, like Leopold something, Leopold Singer, and he was the father of this midget troupe, and he went around and he would find these midgets that could perform. They eventually came to America to work vaudeville and stayed in America working vaudeville and doing shit like this until the troupe was no longer a thing. But he would go around and he would only look for midgets that were proportioned the same as you would be if you were full size.
I'm realizing that now, yeah.
Because they were vaudeville performers, and if they were proportioned different, it would make it harder for them to be in the chorus lines and in the dance numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So he would find midgets that were like perfectly proportioned. They contracted Singer to supply the midgets for the Munchkins, and obviously he didn't have 144 fucking midgets
right.
on hand, so he used his crew, plus traveled around the country looking for Munchkins until, like, the shooting started. But if you notice, I said they were from Europe. Most of them couldn't fucking speak English. There's two Munchkins in this that have speaking parts that are actually talking with their real voices. The rest of them are lip syncing.
Okay.
To other people's voiceover tracks. The midgets that were part of his crew said nothing but good things about him. Talked about like how he was a father to them and put them up in nice hotels, made sure they were
awesome.
Fed. But apparently, when they filmed this movie, he kept half of their paycheck. And I guess, depending on where you're from, dad does that when you're a kid, but...
Did they know about it, like, at the time, or did they only find out, like, years later? That's the thing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the Munchkins, the midgets that worked for him have said nothing but positive things, but, like, other cast members, like, have talked about the fact that he totally kept, like, money. Also... Frank Baum, his jacket. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
Okay, there's this... They put it out when they were filming this, and when this came out, that the guy playing the wizard,
mm-hmm.
they needed a wizard jacket for him. So, the jacket they find just isn't quite it. And so the costume lady ends up going like around LA, around Hollywood, looking for like costumes, you know?
Right.
And she finds this dope green jacket that screams wizard. So mm-hmm. she gets it, and that's what the wizard's wearing in this movie. But while they were filming, the wizard happened to put his hand inside of the pocket, and he felt a tag, and he pulled a tag out. And it's one of those, back in the day, and I mean, I'm sure rich people do it now, but they'll like monogram or put a tag inside of your jacket, this belongs to so-and-so.
Sure.
Tag inside of the jacket said, this jacket belongs to Frank L. Baum, the guy that wrote Wizard of Oz, the book.
Right.
So like the author, like years before, got rid of this jacket, and then it showed up on set for... Like, just
That's
by
crazy.
Chance, and it was the author's jacket, and at the end of production, they presented the jacket to Frank Baum's widow.
Uh-huh.
And it's like an ultimate feel-good Hollywood story.
Yeah, fuck, I'd
It's completely
that movie.
Bullshit.
Oh, really?
It's complete bullshit. None of the Baum family has ever seen that jacket. As far as they're concerned, it was just a studio invention. But it had
hype
me
machine.
Fooled, man. Yeah, I would have went to go see it. Like, that's awesome.
So I'm reading a little bit more, actually, about the Munchkin suicide scene. I didn't realize it's actually a lot later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the end of it, it's just at the end, the very end of the Tin Woodsman sequence. So it's before they meet the lion. But do you have more to say about the... about what it actually is, or...
Oh, yeah.
We can wait until it's actually on screen. It will be a little bit more relevant at that point.
Okay, yeah, we'll wait.
Yeah.
Oh, there she is, showing up when she vanishes. It's my moment.
Oh, I was just looking there, and I could see the trap door, but
yeah,
it's 1939. What are
you gonna do? Since we're getting to the moment, and this is my favorite moment when she vanishes again. When they were filming this, the trap door was supposed to lower, and when the trap door lowers, the smoke and fire was supposed to come up to cover her exit, and they filmed it twice.
Okay.
The first take, the drawer didn't slowly lower. Oh, that's... I'm not going to embarrass you by saying what happened, but he spilled tequila. So when they filmed it twice, the first time they filmed it, the trapdoor didn't lower. The trapdoor just fucking dropped.
Oh, my God.
And, like, and yeah, like,
she... Like the fuck is, she was Hugh Jackman in The Prestige.
Yeah, and so she just dropped and, like, instantaneous, like, ta-da!
Oh,
and said they wanted to go back and do it again. And the second time they did it, the trapdoor malfunctioned and the pyro started going off first.
While she was still fucking standing
and
there.
And the trapdoor wasn't even lowering. She ended up getting all these crazy second-degree burns.
Oh, my God.
Now, before they could treat the burns, they had to take the makeup off. But this fucking makeup on her, they had to take off with acetone. Acetone is the worst on, like, any kind of open cut or anything. So they're having to pour acetone on her second-degree burns and cause excruciating pain before they can take her to the hospital to convalesce for, like, 6 weeks.
God, I would rather be on set for a fucking Maze Runner movie, it sounds like.
Later. Oh, here it is. You saw that? She just,
oh, there she goes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they used the first take and
okay,
not the second.
Because the second one doesn't go quite as
well. Because after the second one, she said, fuck that. Actually, right. Later on in the movie, when the witch is flying around at the broom and smoke's uh-huh. coming out of the back of her broom, they wanted her to do that. And Margaret, that actress, is like, yeah, fuck that shit. I've already been burned and been in the hospital. So they had her stand-in do it. Mm. And her stand-in did it. The broom malfunctioned and put her stand-in in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers to that, man. That's a really cool story. I mean, not for them, but... Yeah. Oh... how are you holding up?
Well, tequila without salt or a lime is good.
Oh, man. That was so fun. Let's do that again later.
Okay. Obviously, we do better when we're drinking the Orange Cointreau or something.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite manly enough for a straight tequila silver.
I don't think men drink tequila. Men drink whiskey. Ladies drink tequila. Tequila is a lady drink. Or
men don't cuddle on the couch and watch Wizard of Oz either, so...
Well, I mean, it's not gay if you're wearing socks, I think. He's not wearing socks.
I did not get that memo.
Oh, man.
Man, this scene reminds me so much of the Great Movie Ride at Disney Hollywood Studios. That is honestly my greatest memory of this movie, is just is that one room you go through.
See, and that's the only reason you knew the witch was coming, because he recognized the song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow, she really doesn't get this. She needs, like, five people to spell it out for her.
Yeah, the coroner Munchkin is speaking with his real voice, but all those other ones, not so much.
Oh, really? They're just like, ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma-ma.
Yeah.
Flapping him out back and forth. Oh, speaking of, you saw the, you see the South Park Christmas episode? Is it Christmas? It's a South Park, yeah, it's a Christmas episode, South Park, where they go to Canada to try and, get Ike back, because the Canadian Prime Minister has brought all Canadians back to Canada, and it's fucking Saddam Hussein at the end. But like, follow the only road. Follow the only road.
Man. Any of the South
that's
Park
a,
episodes...
Sorry, hang on. That's a really shitty background.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Anytime the South Park episodes cut to Canada, mm-hmm. and he's putting his arms in the pudding, as is tradition.
Yes. I love the flappy heads. Like, it's so funny. It's so unrepresentative of Canada, but...
Apparently, the only location shooting for this movie was the clouds at the very beginning when the credits were coming up.
Seriously?
Yeah. Now, okay, that Scarecrow, though, he was the guy that was cast as Tin Man and was like, right. I want to be fluid. I don't want to be stiff. I want to be Scarecrow. Uh-huh. He put a man in the hospital because he wasn't satisfied with, like... with the job he was told to do.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, okay, so I was saying Judy Garland's a dish. They had to put her in, like, a corset and, like, tie her boobs down so she looked flat-chested and younger.
Okay.
Because if you've ever watched any other Judy Garland stuff around this, Judy Garland was fucking smoking.
Like a sex
and,
pot.
Yeah, and she had some tig old bitties. Like, they were... They'd be obvious if they weren't right. taping them down on this.
Okay.
Shirley Temple would have sucked.
Is that who was originally cast in this? Or?
Well, that's she was in talks for it. Even there's newsreel footage of Shirley Temple from like this point in time, being really cryptic in interviews and saying there's no place like home.
Oh, right.
And in her autobiography, she talks about being in the running.
Right.
But her singing voice wasn't... Her singing voice couldn't belt like Judy Garland could. Right, Judy Garland right. can sing.
You know what I'm wondering? Has, I'm sure it's out there. Either fan art or a fan movie or something, but I'd love to see fucking Batman go up against this Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, we see him get ripped in half.
Mm.
He'd just be that guy that just doesn't stop getting up.
Doesn't die.
And doesn't understand why he keeps getting thrown down.
Yeah. By the way, I'm wearing pajama pants right now. I spilled a lot of tequila in my lap, and it's really starting to burn on my penis.
Oh. that may be... I mean, do you have any open cuts or wounds? Because that sounds
I feel
like
the tequila test is telling me yes. I don't know. It's just really uncomfortable right now.
Oh, God.
I mean, it might just be the sensation of feeling like I've peed myself and the smell of tequila that I cannot get away right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a massive error.
Potentially.
I just wanted to own up to it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
Shouldn't have done that. Should have been a little bit more careful pouring the tequila.
That'll teach you.
You might be in charge of pouring from now on. But I know if you pour for the tequila because you hate tequila, we're gonna get little bitch shots.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So if we want this to go right,
yeah, then we got to take the chance.
Man. He's got a very Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins kind of attitude going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another version of this that you can find on YouTube where he's way more subdued and chill singing this.
Okay.
Like the first time he did this, like he's way more chill and like telling a story as opposed to showing off and being vaudeville.
Right, okay.
Because he's like doing like straight up clown pratfall and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Saw that dropping to his knees like that. Nowadays, there'd be a stunt double, and then they'd just CG an actor's face on him.
Yeah, or like a foam fucking floor or something.
Yeah.
And how much does this movie really cost? Like $2.7 million, you say?
Yep. Which was a lot at the time.
How much of that was like paying out for injuries and insurance and shit?
Yeah.
Probably a lot of it from what you're saying.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, in production of TV shows and movies in general, how much goes to, like, legal and hospital
I know a lot of stunts with movies. I remember there was... I can't remember what fucking stunt it is. Something around the 90s or early 2000s. Either, like, Mission Impossible or XXX with Vin Diesel. But there were stunts where people had to be insured for, like, $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
That comes straight out of the film's budget, you know? That's a good chunk of the budget for what is, you know, maybe, like, one shot in a whole movie.
Yeah, me and Tyler are covered up to $2 million, and that's the only way that a lot of venues would let us just come in and wreak havoc.
Because
we'd have our insurance paperwork.
It's crazy in film, though, how people... It's always a shame, because I know... It's really cool when people do real physical stunts and stuff now, but they are dangerous, so you can totally understand why a lot of stuff gets done in computer-generated stuff.
But it's
these
like
days.
Even Tom Cruise, I feel like on a religious and on a personal level, he's bad shit crazy, but that motherfucker makes great movies, and he does his he really does the stunts because he knows that the fans appreciate that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you fucking tell the story. The Last Mission Impossible, it was a good film. I wouldn't say it was a fucking highlight or something, but you know what I fucking remember from that movie? The real Tom Cruise hanging off the side of a fucking plane as it took off. You know, you can't fake that.
Honestly, I wasn't even interested in seeing the next Mission Impossible movie until I saw the news story about him really doing that, and then I jumped on it.
It's a great series. It's a great fucking shot in the movie. You know, you can really see that he's, you know, you can see it's him. You can see the wind in his face. It's a fucking extreme stunt to do. I like Tom Cruise. I get the shit about him. He's very easy to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a very... I love watching him in movies.
He
fucking goes for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading recently that as far as TV show goes, reality TV is basically controlled by insurance premiums.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Have no idea that's like a thing.
My wife is watching a lot of shows right now, like The Real World and The Challenge, like all that MTV shit where they just do like Fear Factor style stunts, you know. And yeah, those TV shows, they're fucking cheap as shit to put together, but all that money must go towards the insurance premiums, because when you're dangling people off of a 50 story building and they're trying to just catch rings or something, like Sonic the Hedgehog, you know you gotta get your shit insured.
Yeah, and I mean, even Cheaters, that dude ended up getting stabbed, but like they got taken by...
Wait, Cheaters, I forget what network it's on, but it's where they kind of follow somebody around and they're like, your husband's cheating on you, and then they confront them or something.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea.
What's the best thing that could happen from that? Of course somebody's gonna get stabbed.
That is the best thing, because that had to be like the highest rated episode, or the most watched at least. Okay, so
the most YouTubed video.
Yeah, and on Cheaters, they had multiple like jilted lovers come and take them to court with like civil suits after the fact.
Right.
And then their insurance premiums went up because now the insurance company just has to plan on going to court after.
Yeah, you're putting people in the position where people are going to be really pissed at what you're doing, and they're probably going to shank a bitch. So.
Yeah, which is when things started to get a little more actor heavy.
It's
like Jerry
Springer. That TV show has always struck me as like just really bad.
The first couple seasons were totally spot on and real, and then they started getting sued and stabbed.
And it needed to bump up the production numbers. So
yeah, it's like Jerry Springer. You watch an hour long episode of Jerry Springer, and there will be six crews of people all with the same basic story. I love this girl. I've never met her before. I'm here to meet him, but I have a secret to tell him. What's your secret? I'm a man. Hey, baby, will you be my girlfriend? Yeah, but I'm a man. Well, I'll try anything once. Those shows, you'll have like two crews of people that are real.
Okay.
And then you'll have a handful other crews of people with the same general like story, but they're actors, because at the end of the day, you got to flesh out an hour long TV show.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure the Springer show wasn't always aware of when they were. I'm sure a lot of people, because I mean, you get paid.
I used to watch the Jerry Springer show quite a lot back in the UK, and it was a guilty pleasure, absolutely. But I stopped watching it when the theme song changed from like a jazzy kind of number to like a TNA wrestling intro music, you know, and it became all about, and then like, if what I noticed about that show is that if people were getting along, or if they were just like, they were talking out their differences, they would ring a fucking wrestling bell, and then that would be a cue for them to just jump up and fucking run over at each other, like halfway across the stage. I'm like, all right. I mean, if you're just trying to, I'm not a fan of staging
the moment Jerry
drama just for drama's sake.
Yeah, the moment Jerry stopped being the main guy that I watched it for, and the bald guy that was always breaking up the fight,
Steve, who now has
his own show, by the way, which is just as bad.
Oh my god.
But yeah, like Springer has this healthy mix of actors and also actors that the Springer show is not aware right off the bat that they're there to bullshit.
Okay.
And then like a small percent, because like you go on the internet and read, there's a bunch of people that like four or five like friends that will fake a scenario just so they can get a paid vacation to go to Springer.
Right. Yeah.
And then but Springer would put up like the opposing sides of the conflict in two different hotels. If they put you in the same hotel, they even told the one crew I was reading about, they even told the group of friends, listen, we're putting you guys all in the same hotel. If side A and side B are hanging out together down in the bar tonight, we're not going to have you on the show tomorrow.
Of course, because they want the drama for the fucking
yeah, show. And they're just kind of, okay, we know that this is probably bullshit, but if you guys want to commit, we'll let you. You know, like yeah. That's...
I had a friend in England. I have a friend in England. I haven't spoken to him for a long fucking time, but he's still my friend. My friend Sam, I used to play a lot of Xbox with. I remember... One day, my friend Brad sent me a picture from, I think it was the Sun newspaper. Go on, what do you want to say?
He's doing the lean. That's a magic trick. Michael Jackson did it in the Smooth Criminal video.
Is it completely by themselves, or is it assisted? Or
no, it's assisted by the ground. There's, okay. Oh, there he goes. Okay. The lean that Michael Jackson did in Smooth Criminal, yeah. All it is there's V-shaped holes in the heel. Oh my God, magicians are going to kill me. But there's V-shaped holes in the heel of your shoes, and there's the head of two carriage bolts. Carriage bolts are like rounded on top.
Right.
And the head is like elevated half an inch above like the floor.
Okay.
So whenever you step on top, your heels go into it, you drag your feet forward, and the V's with the narrow, with the like tiny like point of the V facing towards the back lock onto those carriage bolts, and now you can lean down at a 45 degree angle. And it really, really impressive. Really impressive.
It's a pretty. I was just wondering if it was like wires or shit. So it's pretty well done. Mm-hmm. By the way, if magicians didn't listen to the Prestige episode, they're not going to listen to this. Don't worry.
Oh, I have heard. I've heard already.
Yeah. Just on the Jerry Springer shit. My friend Sam. Just because he wanted to get. Just because he was like, fuck it, I'll get in the paper. He sent in a fake story about. He had a girlfriend at the time and everything, but he sent in a pitch. He sent in a story or a pictures about like, I don't know. I don't know how to tell my lover that I'm HIV positive or something. And it's like a picture of him with another guy, and he just sent it in as a joke, like just into this paper, and they fucking printed it because they'll print that fucking anything over in England without fact checking it. It was one of those like. I don't know, if you have, like, an agony aunt section over here, like, uh-huh. You know, you're, like, writing for advice and shit like that. It was sent into that section of a paper. My friend Brad sent me a picture of the article one day. He's just like, mate, look at this. Look what Sam did. And it's just... But it's beautiful because it's actually got his picture right there. And he's just like, you know, I'm afraid to tell my boyfriend that I've been with him.
I hope he's got that in the scrapbook now, because that's awesome.
It's so funny.
It's the greatest. Yeah. Oh my God.
One excellent prank. I don't know if he ever told the other guy or something. Huh? Well, the best fucking way to find out is just reading the Agony Ant section of the paper, and you find that some guy has put your page in the paper with a story about AIDS.
Oh my God.
There it is. Okay, so there. This shot right here.
Is.
No, is it still there? It's kind of swinging back and forth, is that right?
That's not a midget. That's a fucking bird. You see that in the back?
Yeah, there we go. There's the wing.
Yeah.
All right. Because that bird was, I was going to say like 5 minutes prior, that there was a fucking random massive bird just walking around mm-hmm. the place.
There's a handful of live animals in this. Basically, the studio went to like the zoo or whatever and got a bunch of like weird ass animals.
They got a deal with the dog. They got the dog, and then they were like, "Do you want to add on a bird for like $3 extra?"
Well,
$3. Why not?
They brought a bunch of obnoxious ass animals to just kind of put them onto the set and make it look more alive. And as far as I know, so far that bird's the only one to make it on a screen. And then nobody knew it was a fucking bird for 50 years. Oh, like, yeah. We all thought it was a dead midget.
But we just fucking saw right there. It just sticks its wings out, and there you go.
Yeah.
Although, there was... I was just looking online. Then there is a restored version that I think removes... I think it might have been a lot more prominent in the original version or something. Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean... TVs were a lot crappier for a long time.
Absolutely.
You know, like, now with this TV and like HDMI cables, I'd like to think we're gonna see the piano wire holding the monkeys.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Unless they took that out when they re-released it, but I would hope they wouldn't. This is a movie old enough that I don't mind seeing.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't George Lucas the whole thing.
It's like seeing Peter Pan. Have you ever seen Peter Pan in theater?
No.
Whenever Peter Pan flies, it is obvious. You can see the string. It's not even like they don't even try to make it invisible, and you don't care.
Yeah,
you. It's like when a puppeteer is fantastic enough with a puppet that you don't care that you can see them directly behind it.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Or like a good marionette. Like I'm willing to deal with that. I don't care. Don't take out the piano wire.
Yeah.
Apparently, piano wire was snapping left and right and dropping monkeys too. So
of course it was.
Because they didn't kill anybody, but they damn.
But they damn sure tried.
Yeah.
All right, we're at the halfway point here, so I'm thinking this is the time for me to pee.
Okay, go pee.
Because I called it first.
Okay, yeah. My body language is changing and everything. I was about to. Wait, how do they make his tail wag?
Cocaine.
Okay, I don't even... cocaine ran Hollywood in the 70s and the 80s. Did it run... I don't think it did in the 30s. What were they doing? Opium? Opium was a thing in the 30s, right? I'm pretty sure opium was a... opium was totally a... opium's still a thing. It totally was, because poppies, and then they deleted the scene. So there's a deleted scene where they try to take a shortcut through a poppy field. And if you're not familiar with poppies are what opium comes from. Opium dens, you smoke opium, it gets super high. If you get, like nowadays, you can get synthetic opium, and it looks kind of like a little, like a brown crystal. You break off a little crystal, you throw it in your pipe, you light it, and when you hit the synthetic opium, it glows like red, almost like a lava, and then melts into your bowl, which means in the future, anything that you... Oh, and synthetic opium tastes like dryer sheets. So anything in the future that you smoke out of that pipe is going to taste like dryer sheets, probably tastes like opium, maybe get you a little fucked up. Okay, you said... Dave went to go pee, and now Dave comes back, and I'm talking about how what it looks like when you smoke synthetic opium. You said cocaine, as far as the lion's...
I'm massively confused here.
The lion's... the cowardly lion's tail moving.
Oh, is the cowardly... I was looking at the dog. I'm sorry.
The cowardly lion's tail moved, and it was
up
in the
shit.
Air.
If
I'm it's
sorry.
Not supported at the end by a string, I'd be surprised.
Oh, man.
But okay. You said cocaine. I said probably and not
you
cocaine.
Just, you got inspired to talk about it.
Were they smoking... What cocaine didn't run Hollywood till the 70s and the 80s.
Right.
What ran Hollywood in the... opium was a thing. Opium's totally a thing because they had the poppy scene where they take a shortcut through a poppy field, and then the poppies affect them and get them high, and they all fall asleep, and then they deleted the scene. So poppies and opium was totally a thing in Hollywood at this
point. Wait, really? That's a scene in this movie?
Yes, it got deleted and actually filmed. You can find like the footage. If you look up the poppy scene from Wizard of Oz on YouTube, you can find it. They try to take a shortcut through a big field of flowers, but it's poppies. And even the witch is like yelling at her cauldron, poppies will make them sleep.
Oh my god.
Yeah, opium.
I don't know nearly enough about drugs as you, so I had no idea that went on.
Yeah, yo. And I mean, I know Judy Garland was definitely not on the straight and narrow at this point. Although it's Judy Garland, I mean, I don't want to slander her, but I'm...
She dead?
Yeah, of course she's
slander
dead.
Away. What's she gonna do?
I know she had like a thing for some alcohol, but I'm pretty confident she did some blow. I just don't know if it was at this point in time or later.
You should go pee because... Wait, what are these monkeys? They're people, right?
No, they're dogs. Yes, they're people.
This is just like really, like really shit precursor Planet of the Apes makeup.
Yeah, her monkey, the main monkey, she uses the monkey's like first name, starts with an N. It's actually a reference to the temple in Asia that has the original see no evil, hear no evil, speak
right.
no evil monkey statues in it.
Okay.
So at a point in time where poppies will put them to sleep, but there's no like...
They don't get high off of the poppies.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. That's the tagline for Rehypnol.
You know, roofies, man, they got way more difficult to use. Did you know nowadays that if you drop roofies in a drink, not only
it's illegal.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm not really worried
what is
about
this we're coming to
semantics. Semantics are neither here nor there. I mean, have you heard the one about? I don't get it. When my girl has sex with a bunch of dudes, she's a slut, but. When I have sex with a bunch of dudes, I'm fucking gay? What's with the double standard? but roofies, if you drop a Rohypnol in somebody's drink now, because Rohypnol's still being made, but they also know the date rape drug is like the most widely used reason for it.
Yeah.
So they made it so roofies will not only make your drink taste bitter, mm-hmm. It'll change the color.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody
like
tries...
Like peeing in the pool.
Yeah, but if somebody tries to roofie you, then, I mean, you kind of know. I got roofied once by accident.
Do you put it in your own drink?
No. Somebody tried... Oh.
Is this the scene you're talking about? That you said was cut?
Is it not?
I don't know. She's looking pretty.
Okay, then
up right
yeah,
now.
No. This scene's here. We got to do the IMDb because I'm pretty sure there's a dance number that's missing.
Oh, they danced while she was fucking knocked out.
Bro, there was a dance battle in. Okay, at this point in time when movies were coming out, there was like dance numbers where, basically, there was a scene that was cut out of this where there was like a not a break dance battle, but a dance competition. Where different characters had to outdance others. Because at the time, that's what a lot of movies for the young like people were doing in Hollywood. And the studio wanted to stay relevant.
Uh-huh.
And before they released the movie, the director's like, yeah, this doesn't matter and doesn't fit. Peace.
In 1939, they used that terminology to get
I'm sure they didn't
movie.
Use peace. Yeah. But what would they have used? What is... I mean, not jog on... But what? What would they have used? Oh, this snow?
I respectfully decline.
Do you know what the snow is that's all up in her fucking
cocaine.
Face?
Cocaine. No.
Let's wait for her to wake up. Let's let her, like, wipe it away. What is this? It's snowing. And then I'll tell you what it is. Oh, look at all that snow all up on his face. Opening her mouth, there's snow falling into her. It's asbestos.
Oh my, no fucking way.
Yeah, that we didn't know asbestos is bad
oh,
for you.
Oh shit,
point.
This is before that.
That is all.
Like, this is easy to use.
Yeah, that is asbestos.
Oh my god, how old was Julie Garland when she died?
Right? Probably could have been older had she not been showered in asbestos. I'm going to go take a whiz.
Although she's probably one of the longest surviving members of this movie. Just the
Scarecrow
one.
Was.
Oh, really?
Scarecrow was. Scarecrow's the last one that died. When he died, there was I think New York Times or USA Today. One of them they printed a big cartoon picture mm-hmm. of the Scarecrow running up... the road to catch up with the other characters
Aww.
That were already dead.
Damn, that's poignant.
Also, there's a big scene where they were supposed to run across a rainbow.
Uh-huh.
And that got cut because it's fucking 1939. They didn't have the technology to make a good rainbow to run on.
Like, it's not like fucking Thor.
Yeah.
Run over the rainbow bridge or whatever.
Which, that called. Rainbow bridge is pretty much the shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty on point.
Did we miss the fucking... did Scarecrow get torn apart?
Nope. The monkeys are going to do it.
Oh, they get turned away and they fuck off? Is that how this goes?
Well, because... No, the wizard sends them to go get a broom.
Oh, I don't fucking know this movie. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, the wizard's going to send them to go get the broom, when in actuality, he should have sent them to go kill her.
Right, okay. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the time. We've got just over 40 minutes left. I mean, mm-hmm. well, actually, yeah, that's a long fucking time to just sit here and bitch out the guy behind a curtain. But I figured I feel like I'm missing more of this movie here, so.
Now.
That's good. Okay, as long as we haven't missed it, that's fine. I've got okay. the tequila waiting right here.
Okay.
Go and pee.
Hang on, before we go pee, you're about to get into the city while I'm peeing. The horses that uh-huh. are the weird colors. They didn't paint the horses. They covered them in jello crystals, which means they had to shoot the scene super fast before the horses start licking the jello crystals off of themselves.
All right. Okay.
So, yes.
I'm going to watch out for that. All right. Let me just try and hold a conversation for 30 seconds. With absolutely nobody except yourselves. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you are... I'm fucking learning a lot about this movie, but then I don't know it nearly as well as it seems most Americans do. I feel like my favorite part of the movie is coming up any second. I have the tequila ready to go. And I've moved on from the Budweiser to the Best Damn Cherry Cola, which is a... I mean, I'm a sucker for anything cherry. This is going down a fucking treat. Okay, I should probably mention I'm colorblind. What color is that horse supposed to be?
The horse is white.
What color was the actual horse then?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
It'll be the horse with Jell-O crystals on it.
Wait, is that the right horse, or is there another horse? Is there a horse that's like fucking Day-Glo blue or something?
I mean, I would assume he'd probably not be.
Because that just looks like a regular fucking horse to me. Like, I have.
There it is.
Oh, what the fuck just happened there? It was white a second ago.
No, it wasn't. I lied. No, it's totally white. It's now
purple.
He's
the horse of a different color. He's like a mood horse.
Look at that tongue, though. That tongue. He's tasting Jell-O crystals.
Oh, my God. So he just fucking changes based on the mood of whoever's sitting in this carriage, basically. What's the color for it? What's the mood ring? What's blue?
I don't know. Now he's red.
What the fuck is going on here?
And his mouth keeps doing the, I'm not chomping on a bridle, I'm licking my goddamn lips.
Trying to get closer to his chest. What the fuck? This is amazing. Thank you so much for pointing this out to me.
Well, I don't know why they couldn't just paint him, because I'm pretty sure fucking...
They didn't give a shit about the people. You'd think they wouldn't give a shit about the animals in this movie either.
Yeah, magicians just drop their doves and like writ die in the fucking washer, so... Oh, no.
Oh?
Did it already happen? Oh, no. They're just restuffing him and buffing him. Okay.
They're getting him ready for battle.
Okay.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
They're doing all this work, and he's going to get fucked up in a bit.
Oh, and they're keeping them in repair, and they're just brushing her hair and spraying her with perfume.
Yeah.
See that lion costume?
Yes.
Know what it's made out of?
No.
Actual fucking lion.
No way.
Yeah. Apparently it was hot as fuck, but it's made out of actual lion.
He's wearing like a lion skin?
Yeah. That would never happen nowadays.
No. Fuck no.
There were people that were employed just to dry that sweaty ass costume out all night so that they could come in the next morning at 7 and keep filming.
You kill one lion and suddenly your dentist practice is shut down.
Yeah.
You fucking parade that costume around on film, you're getting fucking bombs in the mail.
Now, this Surrender Dorothy picture is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, hang on. I've seen a lot of skywriting down here in Orlando. Usually it's all like, God is great, or God, Jesus equals babies, or something like that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Prop 10 to avoid. I've never seen the full fucking sentence play out because it's always like you can only see the last three letters that they've shot. Mm-hmm. I've never seen skywriting actually stay in place that long.
Now, here's what they did. They took a tank of water. Mm-hmm. You put the camera in the bottom of the tank of water facing up. Mm-hmm. Then, out of the water, you take a really long hypodermic needle with a witch model at the end. That hypodermic needle is full of liquid.
Okay.
As you trace the word in reverse, as you trace the mirror image of the word surrender, you're squeezing the liquid out into the water, which is why that looked like the smoke skywriting. They were squeezing liquid into water, and it was stagnant water with a camera at the bottom, so it stays in place and doesn't fade away like skywriting should.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the
it's
witch
water
model...
Or gel. I would have thought it'd be easier to use gel, right?
Yeah. But I mean, there's a witch model at the end of the needle. We just watched that scene. You don't see a goddamn witch. You see a shape.
Yeah, absolutely. Lions don't live in the forest, you stupid lion. Go back to Africa.
Oh, no, his tail's just stiff now. Wait, no, why is it moving?
I'm guessing there's somebody crouched behind his butt for this shot, just waving it back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, there's a string. There's got to be a string. There's no way there's not.
The magician is confounded by how the tail is wagging on this 1939 lion.
Just because I can't see the thread, and I assumed we weren't watching a remastered one.
I don't know. Even the remastered version, I don't think they went and actually George Lucas the whole thing with removing wires and updating effects. If they fucking updated effects, we'd just seen the fucking witch flying around, not the shape.
Joe, they re-released this movie in 3D.
Yes, I know.
What? And it's the oldest movie that's gotten the 3D conversion.
It's one of the oldest movies I know of, honestly. I can't think of it. How old is... When was Citizen Kane and Gone with the Wind? Earlier 30s? Because it's 1939.
Well, Gone with the Wind, same time. Citizen Kane beforehand.
Because the guy left to do... Yeah, that makes sense. Citizen Kane, yeah, probably is much earlier.
Yeah, because Citizen Kane, they wanted W.C. Fields.
Okay.
To play the wizard. And right. They couldn't come to agreements as far as his pay scale. So W.C. Fields is no longer a thing.
Times never change.
Yep, yep. They just found another contract performer. We'll take
right.
him.
Right.
If that doesn't look like vinyl, I don't know what does.
Are you sure they fuck back off to go and fight the witch? Because...
The witch is not dead yet.
No, it's true, but they don't kill the witch in the forest. They kill the witch in the...
Castle.
Yeah.
But her castle.
Yeah?
Right?
I don't fucking know! Don't look at me! I don't know this movie at all!
I would like to think...
I do not remember anything that's going on in this scene right now. I thought they... I didn't think they get to... I didn't realize this whole thing where they get into the city and they get welcomed... I thought they went through the whole journey, they pick up people along the way, they end up in the forest, they get fucked up, and then they get to the castle, and then just get welcomed in to find it's all a lie. That's the movie I remember. I do not remember this stuff where they get pampered and fucking robes and shit laid upon them.
Well, they only made the dream sequence thing because they assumed that America was not going to be able to accept a straight fantasy. So they gave us Dorothy Dreamed the whole thing.
Oh, okay, you know, yeah, I get that.
But yeah, this movie is a lot longer than I remember. I don't remember.
There's a lot more beats to it than I remember.
Yeah, also the black and white at the beginning was still reasonably short, but it was a lot longer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
That's not how you spell apricot. Well, that may be how you spell apricot.
Are you shitting on the subtitles?
No, I'm shitting on the lion's lack of grammar. But, I mean, he is a lion.
I don't think he went to school at the same kind of, like, the high degree that everyone else did.
Totally a fucking string. There we go. Okay.
You see it?
No, it was just way too obvious to not be one. I do thread work. I know what thread work looks like.
Right.
Wow, that guy's eyebrows are something fierce. Frida ain't got shit on him. Not that guy.
Holy shit. I'm just looking up the Rotten Tomatoes rating. Top 100 movies of all time. And actually, I'm really confused here because there are movies like Citizen Kane.
Of course.
All About Eve and The Third Man. Can't say I've heard of those. They've all got 100% ratings, but for some reason, right to the top with number one, I guess maybe it conglomerates critical and user reviews. 99%, right there at number one is The Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is there any Hitchcock on there, like Rear Window or Vertigo? Or?
And you know what, when you were talking about old movies, I was really leaning towards those as well.
Mm-hmm. Even if we don't do like an old Hitchcock, something, one of those weird like psychological movies.
You know what's really weird? I mean, E.T. is at number 8, but Inside Out, 2015, that's at number 12 of
what?
All time. It's a great film. It's really well done, but of all time, that's really impressive.
See, and shit like that is what makes me question the Rotten Tomatoes.
Just because of anomalies like that, you're like, that can't be right.
Yeah, Citizen Kane, I understand. Wizard of Oz, I understand, just because it's
just
so old.
Had time to reflect on it, but like Inside Out was last year, and like, are you still going to feel the same way 10 years from now? You
know? Yeah.
Rear Window is number 23 right now, but again, with a critically unanimous 100%. But it's all the way down in 23, so this must amalgamate critical and user reviews, I guess. I love Rear Window. I'd love to watch that at some point. Or you know what I'd really like to watch again is Disturbia.
That was a very effective remake of Rear Window.
Very well done. Very good reimagining of it.
Shia LaBeouf. How do you say his
actual
last name?
Cannibal
is
Shia
it LaBeouf?
LaBeouf?
LaBeouf, okay.
I think it's LaBeouf, yeah. You ever heard that song?
Yeah.
I love that video.
I like the dance number where
it's
he stands over the end.
Right? It's like Cirque du Soleil.
And all those paper heads. That guy's a Redditor.
That guy who made the video?
Who made all the paper heads. He posted on Reddit. He's like, so I've been making all these big ass Shia LaBeouf heads for like a week. And he posts his picture of a fuck ton of Shia LaBeouf heads made out of paper craft. And then that video came out like a month and a half later.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I get it. You're not full of shit, sir. I'm going to upvote your comment like a month late.
Well, I'm holy alliteration, Batman. We've got 30 minutes left of this movie. Now, the only reason I'm giving you a benefit of the doubt with this is because this is a 1939 movie where they do the credits at the very beginning of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as they fucking wrap everything up and everyone hugs and kisses, we've got 10 seconds when it's like, end, and then the fucking line at the end, maybe, before the end of the movie. So, like, we're gonna need to pay attention to the last 5 minutes of this movie so we can kind of do our wrap-up a little bit earlier than we usually would.
Uh-huh. There was a romantic subplot with the Scarecrow, apparently, that they deleted, but later on, the only remaining... and there was a scene afterwards that shows that guy in real life going off to school or whatever, and she was going to miss him, and they had, like, this romantic subplot. But they deleted the whole thing with the Scarecrow in the movie, in the color part. Uh-huh. The only thing that remains is at the end, when Dorothy's leaving, and she's going to click her heels, and she's talking to the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man and the Scarecrow, and she looks at the Scarecrow, and she's like, and I think I'm going to miss you most of all.
Right.
And the other ones are like, really, bitch? But no, it was entirely because there was like a romantic subplot that was built. Yeah, and then nothing.
Right.
Now it just makes no sense. Now it just, you just chose a
favorite.
For
some reason, yeah.
These three guys save your life, and yeah, fuck you two, but this guy.
Is he the first one she met? I think he is.
That does not matter.
I mean, you know, if you're dealing with semantics, yeah. I'm going to miss you most of all because I've known you the longest, I guess. Did he just jump through a fucking window?
Yeah, look.
Here
like
we go. Okay, you're absolutely right. That's fine. I'm sure you're super happy that the healer is still to come. So this scene, I remember like, why would you call it the Haunted Forest? You just fucking give it, that's some Scooby-Doo shit. You're just giving your game away right there.
Yeah.
If you're trying to actually like kill people or something or lure them into a forest, don't fucking call it the Haunted Forest.
Yeah, nobody's going to go there. You want to call it something happy. Yeah. Like, if Hurricane Happy Pants was coming to Florida, I would not even put tape on
my
window.
I'd be like, yo, that's fine. I'll ride this out. Happy Pants, how bad can that be?
If Hurricane Dick Smasher showed up,
I'm getting the fuck out of town.
Yeah.
Going to North Carolina.
I'm going to the UK, bro. Like, y'all don't get hurricanes.
Yeah.
Y'all get gray and rain.
Yeah. That's our summer.
Do y'all like... Okay, I know like tornadoes don't... Like, I know tornadoes happen all around the world.
Tornadoes are like unicorns in the UK. We've heard about them, but we don't really believe in them.
Wow, y'all just don't... Tornadoes aren't like a thing that happened there?
No.
Wow. What?
Iron Man!
Oh,
can see the fabric of the suit kind of wrinkling, and it's, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of ruining the moment for me.
See, he bitched all the time because it was so stiff. He had to lean like horizontally up against a board just for rest. Yeah.
Okay.
Which nobody really took seriously until flash forward to the 80s when Anthony Daniels complaining about the same thing about how he can't rest. He has to lean diagonally against a board.
That sucks. Yeah. I'm sure he's okay now, though. I mean, Anthony Daniels, I mean, like making the new Star Wars movies, I'm sure that suit just that takes apart piece by piece.
Yeah, but once the suit's once you're in the suit, you can't pee.
I mean, now it must be like a 2 minute job to just unclick and disassemble everything.
I don't know, man. I just watched. Do you watch Tested? Adam Savage's YouTube channel, Adam and Jamie. Okay, they have this YouTube channel where it's like if you're into nerdy bullshit, like it's where it's at. They do like one day builds. But they had a guy that does like screen accurate C-3PO costumes come out with his C-3PO outfit, and they put it on, and I had no idea that those are as intricate of costumes as they you know, like I figured he's covered from head to toe, like there's really not a lot of work. There's a bunch of little individual pieces because C-3PO is so goddamn skinny.
That's the thing,
you can't anchor everything onto like one piece. You got Anthony Daniels so tiny.
Oh, there it is.
Fuck.
That's not as horrific as I remember it being, actually. I remember him being like, you know, his body propped up on one side of the stage and his legs way the fuck away somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Well, but okay, no, they're picking up his legs and you can see his body. That's graphic enough. I'll take it. All right. Cheers, sir. No, this is mine. That's yours is right in front of
you. Oh, wait. Why is mine higher than yours?
Is it? Legitimately. Okay, you know what? If you're going to be a little bitch about it.
Cheers.
If you want to argue about, like, maybe 1 millimeter of difference.
Then. Well, I mean, it's tequila.
Is that your... it's a threshold for you. That's going to be pushing you over the edge and...
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm not a biggity bitch, but...
But you won't do this one.
I won't do that one, okay. But I'll do some...
There's a marginal difference between the two, but all right. Whatever. You're the lady.
Ow.
And Dave already vanished. I don't know why. I hear coughing, so he may be peeing, maybe throwing up. Probably throwing up. I don't really cough when I pee. Do you cough when you pee? I'm talking to you, humble listener. Oh, make it, Toto. You got this. Yeah, fuck those green guys. Fuck their spears. That is a fucking hefty hourglass. You keep that crying, Judy Garland.
I'm sorry, tequila came out of my nose.
Did you have to throw it up?
No.
No.
Because I'm not a quitter. Oh, man.
That's so cool.
That wasn't cool.
The graphic. Yeah, man. There's a magic trick where you can do that now. Where you just have a little crystal ball and you sit it on top of an iPhone and the screen's white, but it projects up to where the crystal ball is, So you can see the image in the crystal ball, but
I've
not
seen
on
some
the phone around
like
it.
That using like a pyramid or something. Or
yeah, like the
plastic.
Pepper's Ghost from the Haunted Mansion.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's super cool.
I'm okay. All right, let's never do that again.
Yeah. I don't know when we're meeting up for the next movie. Could be Monday, could be Thursday, doesn't matter. But when we do, you bring this,
you're
I'll bring,
bring
that.
Spirits. Okay.
And I'll just bring one that'll sit here for our movie.
just cover yourselves for the next like 10 movies.
Yeah, I don't really drink a lot of liquor at home.
Let me wash it down with some cool best damn cherry cola.
The Tin Man is the worst climbing partner. Oh, I'm going to hold
your tail. He's actively pulling the lion away from the mountain.
He's like when a lifeguard goes to rescue somebody and that person just starts dragging you down, so the lifeguard just has to like drop a bow in your face and leave you there.
Yeah.
That bow, though. That bow on top of the lion.
Mm-hmm.
That shit is fucking manly.
Pulling it off.
Yeah, he wants to be the one that puts the ape in apricot again, not fucking spelled the same to rhyme. but he wants to do all that, yet he's... okay, and granted, I'm not saying that you can't rock a bow and be like buff... never mind. Now it's just going to lead into the weird transgender conversation, and that's way too topical for me.
oh, man.
I want to cosplay as one of these guys.
You could do the Scarecrow really well, I think.
Yeah, you should go cosplay as something as well, and we should grab a third person to cosplay as whoever's remaining, and then we can just go to a con without Dorothy.
Right.
And just go out of our way to accost every woman we see that fits the age bracket. Because they're all reasonably dumb, right? Like,
yes, so
they're
we're halfway there.
Yeah. They're all dumb enough to commit. Don't be barking, Toto. Terry.
You know what this scene reminds me of is when fucking Frodo and Sam are sneaking around Mordor.
When were those books written?
Really fucking long ago, but not this early, I don't think. I want to say 50s or something.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
So Tolkien could have just ganked that.
He could have fucking stolen it, yeah, from this movie even.
Yeah, but if you steal a lot from one person, it's theft. If you steal a little bit from everybody,
it's an homage.
It's art.
Yes.
Yeah, and where is the line between homage and recreation? Because I was reading a really interesting article that was using Quentin Tarantino's work as an example. And I really like Tarantino, and I really like how much he does like homages to previous directors.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy had a really good point that sometimes Tarantino will do an homage that is like a shot for shot remake of like a specific like action in a scene from like a previous movie.
Yeah.
And if you get it, if you've seen that movie, you get it for the homage that it is.
Yeah.
But if you're not that nerdy about pop culture and film,
you might think he just came up with it.
Yeah, and once you learn that it's another one, where do you draw the line between homage and just straight up repeating?
I've always been confused between the line between homage and parody.
You're so British.
Yeah.
Do you say cool whip as well?
No, that's just that one guy from England.
I'm fairly confident that it really is pronounced with the H.
It's not. We don't have cool whip in England.
No?
No.
Do you have... what else starts with an H that the H isn't pronounced? Do you... Wait, no. But you're from the UK. You do say herb, right?
Yes.
When you're talking about, like, oregano and shit?
Yes. Because we don't have weed in England either.
Now, why is that? Why is the H pronounced in European English, but not in American English? I mean, okay, I get American English because we're fucking lazy, but...
What do you say over here?
Herb? herb. Like, if there was an E-R-B and not herb. Herb is a man's name in America.
So you'd go to the supermarket, you'd look in the herb and spices section.
Yeah, if you go to Publix...
If
you were to go to the grocery store and ask someone that hadn't dealt with an international customer before and ask them where the herbs are, I guarantee you they're going to get it. But if you watch their eyes, there's going to be like a 3-second delay where they want to look at you like, what the fuck did you... Oh, okay,
they think
I get
you're asking
it.
For drugs or something?
No, they just... Americans don't pronounce herb.
Oh, my God.
Like, for real. Okay, so you say herb and homage.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I learn something new every day.
I'm trying to think what other words you would not pronounce the H for. House-sitting.
What?
House-sitting.
House-sitting?
House-sitting.
House-sitting.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, no, I
pronounce
that
is kind of how you
pronounce
it in England, honestly.
House-sitting?
Do you want me to house-sit for you?
So y'all pronounce the H at the beginning
for certain
some words,
yeah.
But not
basically,
for...
it sounds like every fucking word you don't say the H for, we pick up the slack.
Okay, well, it sounds just as confusing as English,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. By the way, just because we're running a little bit low on time, I want to resolve this. Lord of the Rings, 1937.
Oh, so 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, but the book was before that. I'd be interested in reading the book.
The Wizard of Oz book?
Yeah. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, because that was the name of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why in the... do you ever watch movies and then the characters would be talking and the usual suspects wrangle up the usual suspects. He said it! You know, when a character says a title?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only time you get that is when they sing The Wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Right,
and,
yes.
Oh, it's the book! Thanks. Thanks. Back when you guys didn't give two shits about nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're burning because you put your arm in there. Oh.
Oh.
Now. Okay, you're dying. You're pretty furious.
Now,
did she ever mention that was her weakness?
No.
So,
and
I mean,
the Great and Powerful Oz... She cried and got the scars.
Okay.
I get Wicked and the Great and Powerful Oz and all that bullshit wasn't written until after this movie was already an American cinema staple. You know, I get that. But had Franco Baum had the goddamn forethought to foreshadow that shit, this witch would have been dope as fuck if she had scarred... tear lines.
Yeah.
Like
fuck,
from the Great
That'd
and
be
Pelt.
Awesome. Yeah.
That was super cool.
Holy shit, yeah.
It's like when you watch
I
the
feel
thing.
That's the thing. I feel like this came out of absolutely nowhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know if is there any foreshadowing to this? Did you do any research to it?
To what?
To the whole water melting.
No,
thing.
Not really.
It's
no,
out of
all.
The blue entirely.
Yeah, the most
she's
foreshadowing.
She's just trying to save her friend, and then all of a sudden she ends up killing the bad guy. That's a happy circumstance right there. But if there'd been foreshadowing, then it would have played a little bit better, I think.
We brought you the broomstick. She should have been saying, we killed that bitch. But nope.
Oh, he picks up on it.
Oh, you liquidated her.
Very resourceful. Well, it was a happy accident, but I'll take the credit.
Oh my God. Liquidated. I mean, I watched stores with the liquidation signs at Artagon for years, but other than that, I've never heard the word liquidated in a sentence.
Never heard it in like a heroic speech.
No, you
we liquidated their assets.
You see that word in print at every dying mall in America. Oh, yeah, because Terry could not be taught to just grab that curtain in his mouth.
So
no, I'm going
to
attach it to your collar. And then whenever you
shit,
get to the
really?
End, then you try and keep going and you're fucking stuck.
That's brilliant. Give it up, man. You've been caught. You've been rumbled.
And that should have been W.C. Fields. And he would have been so much more fucking endearing.
Who's W.C. Fields?
W.C. Fields, great director, actor, vaudeville performer. What? Okay, I get your accent should just keep me, like, on board, but I always forget, because, like, you're a pop culture nerd for the most part, you're also not from here, so all, like, the early 1900s pop culture shit that I take for granted, you have no idea about, and still, like, need to at least be shown what they are.
Yes.
W.C. Fields is the shit. Vaudeville performer from the golden age of vaudeville. He was in talkies, like when talking movies came on, and a bunch of actors that didn't have good voices that had worked in the silent film industry and had to go. A bunch of vaudeville performers that were great talking to audiences all of a sudden made their like name in fucking talking film.
Okay.
Then W.C. Fields is one of them. There's colleges dedicated to W.C. Fields. There's theaters all around the world dedicated to W.C. Fields.
It's a name I've heard, but I don't know why.
He... A classically trained clown did one of the greatest drunk acts to rival, like, Emmett Kelly's drunk act, like, ever.
Right, okay.
Yeah, if you get a chance, W.C. Fields. Okay. We don't have to inflict a W.C. Fields movie on ourselves, though.
Because why? Was he cast and then dropped out, or what? Why do you mention that with this?
No, he's the guy that was supposed to be the wizard and wanted more money than they wanted pay. W.C. Fields is amazing, but being a clown, I have watched almost every physical W.C. Fields role he's ever done multiple times, so I'm kind of okay with not watching any W.C. Fields for a long, long time.
Okay.
Against wicked witches. Yeah, the witch was supposed to be hot because Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs had just came out and they were trying to cash in on like the sexy witch.
Uh-huh.
But then they later on, Glinda the Good Witch talks about like witches and shit, and witches are referred to in the movie as like supposed to be ugly, which is why Glinda the Good Witch is such like a striking character,
right?
Because she doesn't fit the conundrum.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they realize that a super smoking wicked witch creates a really, really big plot hole.
Yes.
So they made her butt-ass ugly, and that actress is like, yeah, no, I'm good. And so she left, and then this lady came in and started doing the Wicked Witch, and she was awesome, but almost got typecast, because the next movie she was in was with Judy Garland, and she wasn't a Wicked Witch, but she was really fucking wicked and almost playing the same character.
A wicked bitch.
Yeah, she was just really good at being like that mean bitch.
Wow.
Like, she was just really good at that.
And I hate to be like that, but she's kind of got the face for it, honestly.
Yeah, man. And again, that Sheldon Cooper's girlfriend.
Yeah.
She is really funny. I'm sure she is a fantastically nice girl, but I bet you she could play the meanest bitch.
Absolutely.
Fuck it. Just let's meet in the middle. Put Sheldon in the doghouse. And I'll watch that. Because I stopped watching that show. Because they just do stuff and call it comedy.
Yeah. If there's a laugh track over the top of it, you'll believe it's comedy. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't until recently that I realized how many shows had so many laugh tracks. How many live recorded shows were rocking laugh tracks.
Yes.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Home and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Okay, I know that those shows had real laughs that were kind of like the laughter of the audience was kind of heightened by adding canned laughter to it, so it makes it feel more robust.
Yes.
But I would like to know how many interracial kiss ooh they added in Fresh Prince during the run. Because, like, that was the only show at the time that was doing shit like that. But they got some really robust, ooh.
I remember some, I think it was an episode of Saved by the Bell or something where, I don't know the character's name, but where the black chick got stood up or something in like on stage and the guy walked away. I don't know who it was. But everyone was like, oh. But there was one audience member in the background who was like, girl. Really fucking loud, you know? just really stood out from the crowd there.
That's really funny.
Fantastic, though.
Now, did Lisa Tuttle Lisa Tuttle and attempted murderer Screech.
Okay.
did they end up together by the end of the show?
I don't know. You should ask Tara because she's watched that whole show. Like, it's on Netflix, so she's
even the college years. Because I never even committed to that.
No, the college years. She watched the whole fucking thing.
Oh my god.
So she will know. It's out there. You can find out the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Right now she's watching Melrose Place, and my god. It's taking so fucking long.
Oh, bro. I can't. Melrose
Place.
Shows
an hour and a half. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I can't do Melrose Place. I can't do Beverly Hills 90210.
Silly bastard.
Now, I'll jump on some Quantum Leap like it ain't nothing.
Right.
I'm all about some Quantum Leap. Did you know he never made it home?
I do, yeah.
The very last episode of Quantum Leap.
Yeah, just like, womp, womp.
Yeah. You were able to build that whole projection and sound system with like flash pots and like in pyro effects, and yet you don't know how the fuck a hot air balloon works.
I don't know how to stop a hot air balloon.
And you're still close enough to the ground. Like,
moron. So this movie's gonna end really fucking quickly. Do you wanna do like a final summary?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. We've still got the black and white.
We can wait until we jumps black and white, but it's happening any second now, right? The witch comes along.
Oh, she's going to click her heels.
Yeah, here we go.
Here's
the bubble.
Oh, yeah, but she is to tell that heartfelt, you always had a brain and you always had a heart.
Right. The magician was full of shit.
Yeah, of course he was.
Says the magician.
Oh, that dress of hers, much like a lot of costumes in this, was reused from another movie that MGM put out the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, another main actress was rocking that dress in, like, main scenes, like, less than 12 months before on screen.
Right.
Because why not? Just add silver jangles onto shit, nobody will know. Give her a big-ass, like, crown.
Mm-hmm.
What is that made of? It looks see-through, kinda.
This is like an after-school special. Like, right at the very end, we're going to wrap up. What have you learned today?
Like Jerry's final thought.
Yes.
When he always, like, tries to sound intelligent at the end.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, how do I piece this shit together?
I enjoyed it. I felt like it was a...
we doing our final thoughts right now.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. It's not really... I mean, because we can finish our final thoughts and then still bullshit, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm just you know, the movie will finish really fucking quick.
Okay.
Cool, so.
Yeah, it's... it feels like a... I get why they added the dream sequence bookends to the movie, because America couldn't...
It's cute. It leaves... It's a very Christopher Nolan thing to do. It leaves a layer of ambiguity. Like, is it really a dream or whatever?
Yeah, and had they not had the dream sequence at the beginning...
Yeah.
I would not be watching this right now in 2016. It would just be another weird-ass fantasy movie.
It wouldn't be as pervasive as it is, yeah, certainly.
Yeah, it dumbing it down for the general population and making it more accessible...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my heart's breaking. See? She should be crying for that. My heart is breaking because you're leaving. You should be crying. Aww. Really,
listen,
bitch?
That D.
Yeah. See, and even look at that, when she, like, he's, like, looking down at her all, like, sensitive, like he's got, like, sweet nothings that he wants to tell her later, and that whole scene setting up that line was gone, and the finished scene at the end, gone, so it just seems like she, like my parents, she picked a favorite really fucking early.
Said with such... I think I know which way that conversation went, judging from the bitterness that you delivered that.
Yeah, yeah. Basically.
Oh, man.
I'm the 29-year-old black sheep that whips his dick out in front of people. My siblings are responsible. I was just house-sitting and dog-sitting for my sibling. My sibling's a responsible adult with, like, old people hours. I'm 29 and stay up till 4 in the morning and don't wake up till noon. Like, I'm such a shitty person.
Drinking with your man friend watching Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, man. I did nothing today.
Oh, man. Sorry, I've got some tequila stuck in my nose. All right, we're back to sepia.
All right.
Let's sum it up real quick here.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I like the way they went. There's a wizard. And that's all I got. Terry. Terry's the unsung hero.
Yeah. Went on to bigger, better things. I don't know. It was actually really fun to watch this again. There's so much I've forgotten about it. It's a really interesting story. I can see why it's a classic. I can't find anything wrong with it, like, on a critical sense. It's not the kind of movie... It's not, you know, a movie I'm going to watch again anytime soon. But it's a solid film. It's really well... It's well put together. You can see where a lot of movies are built up from it and everything.
Yeah. Where the fuck is Toto? I know that bitch took him, but where is Toto?
He came back, yeah, and then he was in there when she fucking got knocked out by the tornado.
But he should be jumping on the bed all nimbly-bimbly and being Toto.
He should be the one that wakes her up. What? There he is! Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh, I can sleep easy tonight.
Hey, Terry.
No, it's a cute little film. I like it. I think I like it a lot more watching it now. I do not remember anything about watching this movie as a kid. Honestly.
Do you know what I liked a lot about it?
Yeah.
The fact that it feels shorter and like a quicker plot than The Great and Powerful Oz.
Absolutely.
Also, it was way shorter than Titanic, which is mucho appreciated.
We can always appreciate that now. That's cool. This is interesting. I wasn't expecting more credits. Toto was played by Toto. You say that's bullshit. You say his name was Terry.
His name is Terry. Singer Midgets, which aren't named that because they sing. It's named after the dude that took all their money.
That's funny. Oh, man. All right. Guess that's the end of it. Thank you for joining us for our Big Gay Day. Join us next time. My name is Dave.
My name is Carl.
And I don't know what we'll do it next time. We'll pick something equally as interesting, hopefully, yeah. Man. Sorry, still got tequila just tickling away at my nostril here right
now. Oh, that'll teach you.
Yeah. Have a good night.